Welcome to the Arena Church podcast. We hope you enjoy the message.
You know, we finished our series on Armour of God, and just tonight and on Sunday, we're going to be speaking around Easter, and we've called it, this series, To Hell with Death. Do you like that? To Hell with Death. We can get rid of death, throw it in hell, and get rid of it. To Hell with Death. And we've entitled it, and we said kind of under that, why you can live free, forgiven, and forever. Amen. Anyone want to live free, forgiven, and forever? And we've got it up. You know, our design team have put it up in the back there to remind us tonight of the amazing power that comes through this weekend. And, you know, I was thinking and reflecting about what to speak about. You know, what do you say on Good Friday? There are so many things you can say, or so many things you can think about. You know, the most probably, you know, this weekend, the most important weekend of a Christian calendar in terms of importance and remembrance. And I was just thinking how often we can give weird names for things, or we can say things that just sound a little bit strange. And I thought of a few films that maybe, you know, give this example. I like to watch a good film when I get the chance. I've got a few examples for you here tonight. Firstly, there's True Lies. True Lies. How does that make sense? You only live twice. There's a film called Eyes Wide Shut. Another film called Dead Man Walking. And if you haven't guessed it, probably the most famous of all of them, Back to the Future. You know, it's an amazing moment. Isn't it great when you watch a film and they say the title of the film in the film? I'm going to send you back to the future. You know, these words that go together that just, you know, in the natural sense, you wouldn't expect to hear them. But yet, they go together. And when we think about Good Friday, in the natural sense, like, why would you call it good? You know, Good Friday, you think, like, at the time, like, I can't imagine that Jesus' disciples at the time would have called it Good Friday. I can't imagine that Mary, Jesus' mother, would have called it Good Friday. You know, it is that, as it's already been said, the most horrific death that you could experience. But yet, it is good because it has changed us forever. Amen? It's made us so we can be free, forgiven, and live forever. You know, whilst it is a death that happened, it is the most life-giving event to happen in history. And it's the most significant event, the most empowering event, the biggest thing to have happened in history happened on Good Friday. So actually, maybe we shouldn't just call it Good Friday. Maybe we should call it Amazing Friday. Maybe we should call it Phenomenal Friday. Maybe we should call it the Friday that changed my life. You know, it is such an amazing day to celebrate and think about and reflect on together. So just as we start off, I just want to ask the question, you know, just to give a bit of a backdrop. Why did Jesus have to die? Why did he have to die? You know, well, we talk about in church and we say, we use this word, sin. And you find in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." You see, sin is an act of rebellion. It's a choice to go your own way rather than God's way. It is a choice of putting something else before God. And there's three things that you need to know about sin tonight. And we've all sinned. None of us are perfect. Firstly, sin deserves a punishment. It deserves a punishment. So if one of us was to go out of here and were to commit a crime, you know, there would be no shock, you know, when you would receive a fine or be put in prison, because sin deserves a punishment. Secondly, sin creates a separation between us and God. So there is that gap, you know, because we serve a God that is so holy, that is so perfect, that is so amazing, that actually, when we decide to go our own way, when we live in sin, it creates a separation between us and God. And thirdly, sin keeps us in bondage. You know, Josh explained this really, really well. I think it was our last Sunday. You know, a lot of people will think that a true sense of freedom is doing what you want when you want, living by your emotions and, you know, live hard and die young and all those sorts of things, you know. That's what the world will say, but we know from the Bible, and you know if you have any world experience, that sin will wrap you up in bondage. It will take you to places you don't want to go and leave you in a place that you'd never expect to be. So those are those three things. But the amazing thing, as we know and we have sung about and said already, is that Jesus died on the cross. So I've just got 3 points to say about what was the effect of Jesus's death. Number one, the sacrifice was paid. Everyone say, the sacrifice was paid. Let's have a look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26, just the second half of this verse. But he has appeared once and for all at the culmination of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Have you ever been in a situation where you've paid for something and then you found out later that actually you didn't pay the full price? You know, there was a bit of like small black writing, you know, something in the small print. You didn't realize that actually, oh, I've got to pay something on top. Or maybe you've been out to a restaurant and, you know, we love going out for food when we get the opportunity. And one of the things that is a bit of a bugbearer of mine is when you go out to a restaurant and you know what you're going to pay and the bill comes, and what do? They add a service charge at the end. Now, I'm happy to tip, but to include it in the bill, I'm like, you know, come on. That's a little bit cheeky, in my opinion. I'm happy to pay the extra, but to put it in the bill is a little bit cheeky. And you know, sometimes I think that we approach God with this same mindset, that we think that, you know, God hasn't paid the full price. You know, we say, you know, you might mess up and you say, well, you know, God, we think that God will turn to us and say, you know what, Nathan, I paid for your sin yesterday, but I'm not paying for that one today. Or I'm not paying for that one in the future. But what we need to realize is that when Jesus went to the cross, he paid for your sins in the past, in the present, and in the future. You see, he didn't pay it in installments. He didn't pay a deposit. He didn't pay a price that he couldn't afford. No, Jesus paid the sacrifice in full. Amen? He paid the sacrifice in full. And we can approach God today. We can know, you know, we can approach with a sense of, without guilt, without a sense of disdain or worry, knowing that God has paid the price completely. Number two, what was the effect of Jesus' death? The relationship was reconciled. Turn to your neighbor and say, are you reconciled? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 to 19. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Isn't it amazing? I don't know whether you've experienced it before. Maybe you've had a situation or a relationship in your life. Maybe there's someone that you've been estranged to, some, you know, maybe fallen out with someone, not spoken to someone for years. And then that moment happens where you're reconciled and you come together and that relationship is restored. It's a great moment and it's a great picture. But you know, how much greater is it that Jesus has reconciled our relationship with God? You see, when Jesus died on the cross, he brought together that separation. There doesn't need to be a separation in our relationship. We can freely approach God knowing that there is no boundary between us and God. And one of the things that I love about, you know, reading about the Easter story and reading the accounts in the Gospels is when we read about when Jesus died, what happened. And I want to read that from Matthew chapter 27, verses 50 to 51. This is what it says. And when Jesus has cried out again in a loud voice, this is when he was dying, he gave up his spirit. At that moment when he died, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. So what you need to understand at this point is that before Jesus, there was this separation between man and God. And it's already been alluded to tonight. You know, the Jews, they had to go through a sacrificial system. They had to sacrifice animals for their sins. And actually, even though they did that, they couldn't stand in God's presence. And there was this special place in the temple, this special place that they would call the Holy of Holies. And this place was where God really manifested his presence. So we understand that, you know, God is everywhere and he's present everywhere, but there are certain places where God really manifests his presence. You know, I really felt it tonight as we were worshiping. You know, God came close to us tonight. And there was a place in the temple that God would become really present, and this was called the Holy of Holies. But the thing about this place is that not anyone could go into it. There was only a high priest who could go into this place once a year. And what happened when Jesus died, and you know, this Holy of Holies was covered by a curtain. When Jesus died, this curtain ripped in two. Literally saying, you know what, you don't have to do this sacrifice anymore. There's not a separation. You can freely walk into my presence at any moment, at any time. You can come to me and you can meet me face to face. How amazing is that? And you know, I sometimes wonder, I look at people in the Old Testament, I think, you know what? I think they look on us today and think, I wish I had that. I wish I had the free access to come to God. You see, you don't have to wait in a queue for God. You don't have to book an appointment. You don't have to, you know, like when you go to somewhere like Argos and you get a number, or when you order your McDonald's and you got a number and you're waiting there, you don't have to wait in queue. No, you can stand and you can enter straight into God's presence at any moment, at any time, as long as your heart is right and you are open to God in that moment. And we need to remember that. You know, we will clamor to get to certain people. I bet if, you know, Justin Bieber was in this place, I bet a lot of people would clamor to get to him. If there were certain celebrities, I bet we'd clamor to get to him. But what's our heart like to clamor to get to God? Jesus wants to spend time with you. Jesus wants to be with you. What's our heart like? Do we want to freely experience him in our lives? And then thirdly and lastly, when Jesus died, the bondage was broken. Amen? The bondage was broken. Two verses for you. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And then Romans 6, 22. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. We've already said it today. If you accept Jesus, you can live free, forgiven, and forever. Amen. I'm going to say that again. You can live free, forgiven, and forever. You see, Jesus paid the ransom. He broke the chains and the bondages of sin that wrap us up. You know, sin will wrap you up, but he wants you to be free. And I really want to pray over that later on. I really believe for anyone who is bound up tonight, Jesus wants to set you free from the price that he paid on the cross. And when I think about all of this and all of Jesus' sacrifice, I really think a great example of Jesus' death, a great picture, is from the book, and it's been made into a film, is The Chronicles of Narnia, specifically The Lion, the Witch, and the Robot, and the Wardrobe. Has anyone seen the film or read the books? Yeah, a great, great book, you know, written by C.S. Lewis, a Christian writer. And obviously, it's not just a story. He's alluding in the stories, you know, metaphorically speaking about Jesus. And what happens in the story? You know, they enter into this magical world through a wardrobe. Actually, me and Joanna at Newstead Abbey, they turned it into a type of Chronicles of Narnia, and we got to enter through the wardrobe. It was quite an experience. They enter through into the Chronicles of Narnia, and there's four children. One of them is named Edmund, and Edmund basically betrays his family. He gives up his family, and he basically makes a mistake, and he sins, and he does it to the White Witch. It's obviously a, you know, a picture of the devil or of evil. And what happens is the White Witch is going to prepare basically to kill Edmund for what he's done wrong. But Aslan, the lion, who is obviously the leader of everything good in Narnia, he steps forward and says, "You know what? No, White Witch, I will take his place." The White Witch at this moment, she's delighted. Think, I've got Aslan. You know, I've defeated this great leader. But what happens is they kill Aslan on this table, and they think everything is finished. But the next morning, Aslan rises from the dead. And you know what I love about the story and the film is that it's not just a picture of him raising to life, but what happens when he raises to life? You see, this world before he died was all filled with snow, with ice. There was no life in the world. But what happens when Aslan raises to life? The creation changes. You know, literally the ice melts, the snow disappears. Life comes into creation because of this one moment. And you know, that's what happened when Jesus died and resurrection. He changed creation. He changed everything through that one moment. And you know, there will be a moment when Jesus comes back again, and he takes it even to a level further than we've already experienced. But in that moment, he changes everything forever. And I just want to say, just for the last couple of minutes, I just want to speak about, and you might say, well, Nathan, that's great, but you know, we know that Jesus died for our sins. We know that he paid the price. We know all of this, but what should I do? What should my response be this Easter and on this Good Friday? So two things quickly. What is our response? So number one, we should accept Jesus's sacrifice. We should accept Jesus's sacrifice. You see, everything we've spoken about, we have to accept it into our hearts and minds. We've been speaking about the armor of God, haven't we? And we spoke a few weeks ago about the helmet of salvation. You see, there will be those moments where you start to doubt it, where you say, well, did Jesus really pay the price for me? Could I really accept this gift from God? But in those moments, we have to put the helmet of salvation on. You say, what? Know what? I'm not going to take those thoughts on. I know that the Bible tells me that Jesus has paid the price in full, that he has saved me and he's given me this free gift. You see, we have to remember that this is a gift that cannot be earned. And don't be one of those people who don't accept the gift. You see, have you ever come across someone when you've tried to give them a gift and they said, oh, no, you're too kind, no. You're like, just take the gift. I want to give you this. You know, we must take the gift from God. Don't refuse it. It is a free gift from God. And then secondly, I want to focus on for the next couple of minutes, our response is that we are to die with Christ and enter into a new life. I'll just say that again. We are to die with Christ and enter into a new life. Matthew 16, I'll just read verse 25, which says, this is Jesus speaking, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. And then another verse I just read for you from Romans chapter 6, 1 to 4. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Well, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. You see, these verses speak about being baptized into Jesus' death. And look, don't worry. I'm not saying that we are to go out here and to literally go and get killed. It is a spiritual sense of laying your old life down to rest and stepping in to a new life. That's what baptism is all about. And it's amazing because we're going to see some guys get baptized on Sunday, and they're literally going to be making that step and decision to say publicly, I am laying my old life to rest and I am with Jesus resurrecting into a new life. And you see, as we reflect over this weekend and think about Jesus' death and resurrection, I really think we have two choices. Firstly, we could make the choice and say, Jesus, thank you. I accept that. I accept my free ticket into heaven, and I accept your salvation, and we leave it at that. Or we can make the decision and say, you know what? I'm not going to stay there. I'm going to put my old life to rest, and I'm going to sacrifice my old life and step in to this new life that God, that you have for me. That is putting to death your old life and stepping into a newness that God has for us. You see, the thing is you can't fully step into the new without getting rid of the old. You can't live your life in both camps. You know, I'm not saying that you have to live perfectly. None of us are perfect. But you actively have to make that decision and say, you know what, God, I'm going to push on into the newness that you have for me. We have to make that decision and say, God, I'm going to put my old way to rest and move on into him. And I really believe that Jesus is calling us to be a people that will jump 2 feet wholeheartedly into him. One prayer that I like to pray from time to time as a kind of conditioning for my heart, say, God, I'm not messing around. Would you change me? Would you shape me? Would you mold me? Would you move me? God, I don't want to stay where I am. God, I don't want to be living my old life. God, I want to be moving forward, because it is a constant daily thing that daily we live our oldness behind and we step in to our newness. And this Easter, look, I want you to think and reflect on that. Is there anything more that I need to die to? Is there any attitudes that I need to lay to rest? Are there any habits that I need to change? Is there anything in my heart that I need to surrender to God? Are my feet in two camps? Or am I committed to stepping into the newness that God has for me? Will I participate in Jesus' death and resurrection? Or will I just stay where I am at the moment? Come on, I'd love to pray with you tonight. Could we pray together in this moment? And just as everyone's having a moment, whether you want to bow your head or close your eyes or whatever you want to do, I want to give an opportunity for people in this place who are maybe finding themselves far away from God in this moment. Maybe you've never made that decision to fully give your life over to God. Or maybe you're just finding yourself distant from God in this moment. You know what? I want to encourage you that Jesus wants you to live free, forgiven, and forever. He wants you to live free, forgiven, and forever. And if you want to make that decision tonight and say, you know what, God, I want to accept you into my heart. I want to follow you tonight. I'd love to pray for you in this place, and I'd encourage you, just as an act of submission to God, just to lift your hand in this place and say, you know what, God, I want to live free, forgiven, and forever. If that's you, would you raise your hand in this place tonight? Thank you. Thank you. God, we pray over those people who are committing their life and hearts to you tonight. God, I pray they would know your freedom, your forgiveness, that your love and your power in their life tonight and right now. God, we thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you for what you did, for who you are. And God, I pray for those people who are making that decision tonight, Lord, that they would step into all that you have for them, that they would feel your love and your presence in their life, and they'd commit their lives wholeheartedly to you from this day forward, in the name of Jesus. And God, I just pray for all of us here tonight. God, I pray we would go away from this place. God, that we would reflect. And Lord, if there is anything that we need to die to, God, that we would lay it at your feet. God, that we would step into this newness daily. God, believe in, Lord, in this year of growth, Lord, that we would step into more newness than we've ever seen before. God, we submit our lives, our hearts to you tonight. May you move in us. May you change us. May you shape us. May we never forget your sacrifice, God, and what you are calling us to in this new life with you, God, we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen.
What a great message that was.